Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, the Dr. Zen, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Eat the babies? Really? Adam Liar Shifting reads a transcript of Trump's call to Ukraine president to the Congress, and he quotes Trump as saying that he wanted the Ukraine president to, quote-unquote, dig up dirt on Biden. It turns out the transcript was fake. And when Shifty was challenged on that, he passed it off as a parody. Well, what about the impeachment effort against Trump? What does it mean to be impeached and how does it work? And finally, I intend to answer a question raised by John Jay, founding father and first chief justice on the Supreme Court in the United States, about whether Christians should be involved in politics and hold office in the United States government. My friend, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Eat the babies. Really, at a town hall meeting with AOC, one of her supporters stood to present a question to the congresswoman representing New York's 14th district. And after praising her for supporting the new Green Deal and being so wonderful and all that, she went into a screed about how it's just not enough. More must be done about climate change because we only have a few months left. She referred to a Swedish study suggesting we could and should eat dead people, but complained that's not enough. And she said, well, you know what? Why don't you listen to this? I think you'll find it very interesting.
Climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel is not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this: we got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutant. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you really support a new Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies. And this is very serious. Please give a response.
Thank you. No, thank you. Thank you.
Eat the babies. She referred to everyone in the audience, you might have noticed, as pollutants. I think our idea is that we need to stop bringing so many pollutants into the world, you know. We need to stop population growth. And her solution is then, well, let's just start eating the babies. Well, that's satanic. There's no other explanation for this kind of thinking. Bible thump alert. Bible thump alert. The Bible speaks of seducing spirits that teach doctrines of devils. And if that's not a devilish doctrine, I never saw one, and I've seen plenty. Right in line with Planned Parenthood's policy of selling baby body parts. Yeah, treating the unborn, even infants at term, as property or product. Fiends of hell, this hellish doctrine. Now look, calm down. I know. I understand. The left is saying that this woman was a plant from some right wing nut operation. Supporters of Trump, of course, are doing this. Yeah. Supposedly, Tucker Carlson, one of my favorites, has exposed all of this. There's a neat little link here where it says that Tucker Carlson has exposed it. And when you click on the link, it takes you to Tucker Carlson's Twitter page. And when you get to the Twitter page, you can't find any tweets about this crazy baby-eating lady. That doesn't mean he didn't say anything about it, but it does mean that that link doesn't take you to any place where he did. And I looked elsewhere. I can't find any place where Tucker Carlson addressed it, although he might have. And then the statement that LaRouche claimed, owned responsibility for planting this woman has a neat little link there, too. And the same thing happens. You click on the link. It doesn't take you to anything like proof at all. It takes you to the LaRouche Foundation. And you can see all about them, but you don't see anything that shows that the LaRouche Foundation accepted responsibility for planting this person. But I did find a tweet ostensibly from a LaRouche Foundation member that says, "We trolled AOC," and that she did not back away from the idea of eating babies as a solution to climate change. But the reporter in that article admitted they attempted to contact LaRouche, but got no response. So, you know, I have to be careful, you know, when reading these things, because there's just a whole lot of lying that goes on out there, especially now. And frankly, it's coming mostly from the left today. And that makes sense if you think about it. I mean, after all, the left has taken an anti-God, anti-faith, anti-Christ position. That's how they've postured themselves in this election. They've taken their hellish separation doctrine to such an extreme that they now advocate the idea that a sincere believer in Christ should not sit on the court or hold office in the United States. And more than half the Democrats at their national convention, remember back in 2012, booed a proposal to acknowledge God in their platform. And they advocate for murdering babies at full term. And they advocate for humanistic morality that's based on, well, nothing but rationalizations. They set an example before us constantly of violating laws to advance their cause. And lying seems to be a well-used tool on their side. Lying about Trump, about Christians, about anything, it seems, if it advances their agenda. Lying is an approved method in that camp if you're lying to advance what they consider is the truth. Weird, huh? But it is like Biden said, the Democrats don't care about facts, they just care about the truth. What does that mean? Separate truth from facts, you've got neither. This is something that has been said by others on the left. Truth is relative in their world, you see. It comes down to this. Truth is whatever supports and advances their cause, because their cause is true. You see? The lie is whatever opposes their cause. So, lying, as we understand it, is standard operating procedure for the left, because for them, lying is telling the truth. If it advances the truth, you get it. Here's another example of this very thing. The MSM today is repeatedly saying that this woman was a plant by a far-right Trump-supporting, got to get that in there, organization, the LaRouche Foundation. So who is the LaRouche Foundation? Now, of course, they're going to do all in their power to connect this group to Trump. So here you go. From an article in Wikipedia on the LaRouche Foundation. LaRouche-affiliated political, quoting by the way, LaRouche-affiliated political parties have nominated many hundreds of candidates for national and regional offices in the United States, Canada, Sweden, Denmark, Germany, Australia, and France for almost 30 years. In countries outside the United States, the LaRouche movement maintains its own minor parties, and they have had no significant electoral success to date. In the United States, individuals associated with the... I'm still quoting. In the United States, individuals associated with the movement have successfully sought Democratic Party office in some elections, particularly Democratic County Central Committee posts, and been nominated for state and federal office as Democrats, although the party leadership has periodically voiced its disapproval. Quote, unquote. Oh, and then there's this, quote, LaRouche ran for U.S. president 8 times in every presidential election from 1976 to 2004. The first was with the U.S. Labor Party. In the next 7 campaigns, he ran for the Democratic Party nomination. He received federal matching funds in 2004. See Lyndon LaRouche, U.S. presidential campaigns for that. Now, and then there's this, quote, in 1986, LaRouche movement members Janice Hart and Mark J. Fairchild won the Democratic primary elections for the offices of Illinois Secretary of State and Illinois Lieutenant Governor, respectively, end quote. And then there's this, quote, the LaRouche movement opposed the UN sanctions against Iraq in 1991 and the Gulf War in 1991. Now, as I understand it, that's a Democratic position today, is it not? And then there's this, quote, LaRouche blamed the sanctions and war on Israeli-controlled Muslim fundamentalist groups. Israeli-controlled Muslim fundamentalist, right? And the Ariel Sharon-dominated government of Israel. whose policies were, quote, dictated by Kissinger and company through the Hollinger Corporation, which has taken over the Jerusalem Post for that purpose and so on and blah, blah, blah. A little anti-Semitism there. Where do they find their home? The Democratic Party. And then there's this, quote, in 2000, the Democratic senatorial nominee in Wyoming, Mel Logan, was a LaRouche follower, end quote. And then there's this, quote, in 2006, LaRouche youth movement activist and Los Angeles County Democratic Central Committee member Cody Jones was honored as Democrat of the Year for the 43rd Assembly District of California by the Los Angeles County Democratic Party, end quote. Now, the LaRouche group did not like Obama or Pelosi, to be sure. Interestingly, however, their antics were pinned on the Tea Party, you know, putting a Hitler mustache on Obama, that kind of thing, and Frankenstein knobs on Pelosi's neck, this, right? That was pinned on the Tea Party when the LaRouche group did it, but the LaRouche group didn't come up and clarify that or correct that. Yeah, we had to dig that out, didn't we? However, we know there is bad water between LaRouche and the Weathermen, you know, back in the day, back in the 60s. The Weathermen were physically assaulting LaRouche supporters in clashes between LaRouche and the Weathermen. And the LaRouche supporters retaliated in kind, and they got physical. Yeah. So maybe Obama's connection to the Weathermen radicals put him on LaRouche's blacklist. And the idea of violence and, you know, beating up your opponents politically. Yeah, you know where that's at today. But then there's this, quote, in March 2010, LaRouche youth leader Keisha Rogers won the Democratic congressional primary in Houston, Texas, 22nd District. The following day, a spokeswoman for the Texas Democratic Party said that LaRouche members are not Democrats. I guarantee her campaign will not receive a single dollar from anyone on our staff. But then, in June 2012, Rogers won the Democratic congressional primary for a second time. In March 2014, Rogers received 22% of the vote in the United States Senate Democratic primary, placing her into a runoff election with David M. Alamil. And so anyway, right? Look, I apologize. But that's as much time as I have right now to dig into this. But I can't find any kind of connection to Republicans anywhere, all right? Anywhere. As you can see, if this crazy woman was a LaRouche troll, someone who deliberately makes offensive or provocative statements to upset another or to elicit an angry response from another, well, then there's no way she was working for Trump. This was an effort to embarrass Trump, if anything. I agree with Candace. The focus really needs to be on AOC's response to this. Now, AOC tells us she was concerned the woman was having a mental breakdown and wanted to de-escalate the situation. But she couldn't find words enough to say that at least something that would let us know that she's not for eating the babies. We know she's for murdering them, but surely she could let us know she's not for eating them. You know, maybe AOC can look at this as a warning that her fear-mongering about climate change has real consequences. So I said it's demon possession, devilish activity, and it is. Whether she is a LaRouche troll or a demented dim driven insane with the constant hyped up scare tactics of the left, it's all from the same devil, man. Satan's the father of the lie, you know. It is his modus operandi. So we'll talk about Adam Liar Shifty, another demon possessed fellow. You wonder at me, don't you? Calling these people demon-possessed. You think it's over the top? It's too much. Look, I'm making a point, and I can see that it's sticking some of you. It's a little too sharp for some of you, and you're squirming about. Trust me, and hang on. It will all make sense. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back.
Encounter God. The word means to meet, to experience, to confront. How would you like to encounter God? Maybe it's been a while since you've experienced God in a meaningful encounter. Renew your experience of God with a fresh encounter this year. Or maybe you've never experienced God and He doesn't seem real to you. You can encounter God and know that God is real. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air.
Hello. Back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California. You bring the sewer and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singing the enemy is on the march, on the enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Talking about the devil-possessed Democratic Party. But really, Jesus said Satan is the father of a lie. So, you know, what spirit do you think is guiding and directing the Democratic Party today? Adam Schefter sits before Congress with millions viewing the proceedings and reads a transcript of Trump calling the Ukraine president. He quotes Trump as saying he wanted the Ukraine president to, quote-unquote, dig up dirt on Biden, end quote. It turns out the transcript was faked by Adam, and when Schefter was called on it, he passed it off as a parody. So, Adam Schefter does comedy now? You know that parody is an imitation of the style of a writer or an artist or a public figure with deliberate exaggeration for comic effect. Adam Schefter is the unfunniest man you'll ever meet. Even his smile looks eerie, like a, really creepy cat with a mouse in its teeth. He has that wide, glaring gaze of the insane. You know, really, that guy creeps me out. And like Gowdy said, he leaks like a sieve. And he's the guy that did everything in his power to keep you from ever learning about Hillary's email server, about her involvement with Benghazi, all of it. He tried his best to keep you from knowing about the Russiagate dossier, yet he is without anybody's disputation. He's the most partisan Democrat on the Hill today. If you're looking for a definition of my sometimes playful expression, demon cracked, it's Adam Schefter. That guy has the devil all over him. So what about the impeachment of Trump? What does it mean to be impeached? And how does this work? Well, you know that the Congress voted to impeach Clinton back in the day. So that's the first thing you need to know about impeachment. It begins in the House of Representatives. The House impeaches, and then the Senate conducts a trial to determine whether or not he will be removed from his office. Although the House impeached then-President Clinton, the Senate did not convict. They split over the issue, and it failed to get the three-quarters majority necessary to remove Clinton from office. So, another thing to understand is that the House may impeach, but that does not automatically result in the removal of the president from office. The Senate must conduct a trial, and then conviction occurs only if three-quarters of the Senate concurs. Now, I would say there is nothing at all to be concerned about because, well, there is no evidence to support the allegations. I mean, there is not only no smoking gun. As Gowdy said, there's no gun. No quid pro quo occurred or was offered. However, today's Democrats don't operate on the principle of innocent until proven guilty. They don't believe the standard for conviction requires evidence beyond a reasonable doubt. These cherished American ideals are gone, at least in the Democrats' world, a la Kavanaugh and before him Thomas. And many other examples could be brought before you. There is no rule of law in the Democrat world. It's rule of the party. What is in the interest of the party defines the rules. And right and wrong are defined by party rules. That's who they are today. They are lawless. They are without principle. They are governed by only one precept. America must come out from under God and under them entirely. And by one immediate goal to that end, which is remove Trump from office. So while in a world where principles matter and American values continue to be cherished, we wouldn't even be talking. We wouldn't even be having this conversation. We would be talking about how to address the many other serious issues that we face as a nation. We would not be spinning our wheels in the mudslinging fit over a lost election. And if we were in a sane world right now, if at least people were being honest about all of this and had some shame about looking like fools and looking like obvious partisans, well, the likeliness that Trump would be impeached, much less convicted and removed from office would be, well, highly unlikely. But in today's world, truth is in the street, my friend. Judgment and justice are turned away from us. Equity cannot enter. Isaiah 59. It's all about politics now. It's not about truth or justice. It's about politics, which for Democrats is about one thing, and that's power to control the lives of others through government. So it all comes down to this. How many Republicrats are there who will risk the wrath of their constituents and side with the Democrats in their effort to conduct a coup? The sentiment of the voters right now is such that if or when the House impeaches, if the Senate does not follow with conviction and removal, half the country is going to be enraged. And if it does, the other half will be enraged. How sad. We have to look at this as a political issue now, not as an issue of justice or judgment. That's gone. It's all politics now. At present, according to all credible polling, Trump is receiving more favorable response from voters now than he has ever before. I mean, the Democrat attack on Trump seems, at present, to be backfiring. One lifelong Democrat admitted he was totally against Trump until this impeachment circus got started. Now he's going to vote for him. And we can hope and pray there are enough honest people left in America to see this and to be revolted by it and to stop this? All right, let's move toward our conclusion. John Jay, founding father and first Chief Justice on the Supreme Court, said, quote, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty, as well as the privilege and interest, of a Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers," end quote. Yeah, and I guess you're living in the results of not heeding that good advice. And he asks, quote, "Whether our religion permits Christians to vote for infidel rulers is a question which merits more consideration than it seems yet to have generally received, either from the clergy or from laity. It appears to me," he said, "that what the prophet said to Jehoshaphat about his attachment to Ahab affords a salutary lesson," end quote. Now, he was referring to 2 Chronicles 19:2, where God rebuked the king through his prophet, saying, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?" quote unquote. Well, there's something you should think about coming into this 2020 election. John Jay was not the only one, by the way, who expressed concern that this country must have Christians, and godly Christians at that, ruling in the government, or else we would lose our liberties. George Washington, John Adams, Samuel Adams, Madison, Mason, Alexander Hamilton, all of these men, and virtually all of the signers of the Declaration, made statements to the effect that this republic was only fit for the government of religious people, and in the context of the day, that clearly meant Christian people. For many years, Satan had Christians hoodwinked into believing they were not supposed to speak up on political issues. I get hit with that all the time. We bought the lie that we had no say, you know, that the world belongs to the devil, and that we had no right to impose our morality onto others. This ruse worked so well that today the secularists are imposing their immorality on all of us. And it's bizarre. 51 genders? Really? I mean, so long as the culture was salted with Christian principles and values, that's what. But man, that salt has worn off now. And look at the situation where in California, removing urinals from restrooms because women can't use them. I mean, this is beyond stupidity and beyond absurdity. It's gotten downright evil. There's a sinister darkness behind all this. This is wickedness, my friends. And the word wicked, by the way, means to reverse or to twist out of shape. This is evil. So Christians cannot impose their morality onto others, right? But the secularists, the unbelievers, they can impose their morality on us. It's okay for the perverted, the confused, the evil in this nation to impose their bizarre immorality on us. I mean, life-threatening, disease-ridden behaviors and just distortions and confusion. Man, you better wake up. You can see what's happening if you just open your eyes. They've been pushing Christians out of the public square for decades now. Incrementally at first, by littles, but now they're just coming right out with it and pushing. The claws are out. And now they're encroaching on our inalienable, divinely endowed rights. And we had better stop retreating and take our stand. Ephesians 6 says three times, stand, stand, stand. We keep letting them push us back farther and farther. It's time we draw the line and say no further. In fact, we need to start advancing. The truth is, the earth belongs to Christ Jesus. All of the kingdoms of the world are under his authority. He is the ordaining power behind all authority in the earth. Satan was defeated on the cross, and although at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, Satan could truthfully say all the kingdoms of the world were his, when Jesus rose from the dead, the dominion, which is the right to rule the world, was transferred to Jesus Christ, which is why he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Our founders understood this, but we the people have forgotten it. Jesus is the king. All mankind are his subjects, and we, his disciples, are kings and priests unto God in his kingdom, which kingdom is over and presides over all other kingdoms of the earth. Not only do we have the same rights anyone else has to rule an American government, we have a greater right and responsibility to do so. The people, however, must choose. That's the way it is. Now, when Jesus returns with us, that'll be a different story. They won't have a choice. Right now, however, they do have a choice. They must choose this day whom they will serve. Christ has sent us out into the world to declare the terms of surrender before he comes and drops his wrath upon the kingdoms of the world. And the terms are these. We must confess he is Lord and believe he arose from the dead and call upon his name to be saved. Those who do so are called the children of obedience. They've recognized that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus gave us his Spirit to dwell in us and move through us into the world. And the Bible says the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of liberty. But Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. The Spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, those who rebel against Christ's terms of surrender. Now you begin to understand. Guys like Adam Schiff and Pelosi and Schumer and Waters and the rest of them, they want to bring us under bondage. They want to take away our rights under God and bring us under the tyranny of the state. They don't believe the nation should be governed by Christians or guided by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Not the way the Bible teaches us. They are of the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of tyranny, oppression, where government takes the place of God and demands every knee bow to the state and resents any power outside the state or that takes a position above it. This is the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of tyranny. And they follow the rules of the kingdom of darkness, lies, subterfuge, deception, cover-ups, false accusations, and all of this so they can silence you. You need to become awake to righteousness. You need to learn the relationship between the spiritual and the physical. You need to learn how to engage in spiritual warfare effectively. And this book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, blows the devil's cover, exposes the lies, and it gives you the truth. Satan has no right to rule in the earth. Any power Satan has on this planet, he has usurped. The violent only get control of the dominion by taking it by force. However, the spirit in us is greater than the spirit that's in them, and all we have to do is stand. Now, my book, God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, explains all of this and more. It's about 450 pages of reading, followed by four appendices and a very complete index. It has over 30 color illustrations to help you understand some of the more technical stuff. It's a hardback, by the way, Smithsonian, which means when you open it, it should lay open for you, so, and that's really helpful. When you're using it in study, you have to fight the binding and all that kind of stuff. It's written on a level, by the way, that anyone can understand and engage. With insight so deep, even the advanced students will appreciate it. Now, you can pre-order now. Go to www.booksatdbp.com. And if you want a free sample of the book before you buy it, click on the sample version, and you can download the PDFI for free. If you want to purchase the hardcover book, you can pre-order and get a 25% discount for an autographed copy. Now, the books will ship somewhere in the middle of November, but they will ship in plenty of time for Christmas. If you wait until then, however, listen, you're likely going to have to wait almost 6 weeks to get a copy because pre-orders are coming in, and all pre-orders are going to be fulfilled first. This is an attractive book, by the way. It's a real looker. It'll make a great gift to your politically astute Christian friends and a much-needed gift for your, well, not-so-politically astute Christian friends. And by the way, non-Christians will find this book fascinating. Trust me. And for many, of course, infuriating. Some of them won't even be able to get past the title. But it's the truth. And it's not something new. Our founders believed it. And if we want to restore our liberties, we must return to our founding principles. God's War. Order it today. Go to www.booksatdbp.com. And by the way, books at, you don't use that little symbol for at like you do in an email address. It's the word at, A-T. So, booksatdbp.com and secure your 25% discount for an autographed copy that'll be sent to you as soon as the books are delivered. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. That's 314-2114. And leave a message for me on our listener response hotline or go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net and send me an email. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
A lighthouse provides a guiding light through darkness. That's why the word lighthouse is in our name. Visit Lighthouse Baptist Church. Call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Tune in Saturday at 12 noon